when you end up in a team lead role, you kind of have that.
It's tough.
You wear all the hats. You are oftentimes, especially in CRO, you're responsible for being the strategist and the analyst, sometimes the developer, the copywriter, designer, all of that. Yeah. And you're responsible for oftentimes leading people. So your salary is not doubling, but yeah. Your workload is doubling.
Hi, my name is Romo Santiago, and I'm the founder of Experiment Nation. Today is a very special episode. We're going to talk about this year's CRO average salary report. Joining me is Tracy Laranjo. Together, we talk about the recent trends in salaries, how it breaks down, and we talk about how you can get your bag. We hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, everyone. My name is Romo Santiago, and I'm the founder of Experiment Nation. And today, I have a special guest, someone you may recognize in front of the camera, as well as in front of the camera, Tracy Laranjo. I'll let her introduce herself.
Thank you. I love that you said in front of the camera twice.
Yeah, because I was going to say, well, I meant to say interviewee and interviewer, but then I was midstream. I was like, well, I just talked myself into a corner.
Well, that's fine. I don't know who's interviewing who this time around, so we're just going to have to volley, I guess. And you love volleyball, so.
I do. Yeah. And very sore ankles from it.
So, yeah.
It comes with age. But today, I guess neither of us are interviewing. We're going to talk about, maybe we are. But today we're going to talk about the upcoming salary report. And then from there, we'll talk about what to do with that information, to be honest.
Yes.
Let's jump right into it. Coming out right now, or if you're listening to this in the next week or month, it's out already. Experiment Nation has put together its annual CRO average salary report, where we ask a bunch of folks, what do they make? And we try to break down that information by different factors, like where their seniority, their country, their orientation, minority status, and stuff like that, just to help everyone get paid what they deserve in this field. When you're into these negotiations for job or contract work or what have you, you always want to be paid fairly. And to help folks do that, we let people know what other people are making who are similar to them.
I love the salary report. Like, I remember when you first started talking about creating the salary report, and I was like, this is the best thing ever. I need this, because I had no idea where I stacked up versus my peers. And I'm also really nosy. I love knowing how much money people make. And I'm okay with sharing how much money I make too. It's kind of how women get their bag, is
so
by knowing.
We'll post it on LinkedIn.
Yeah, then. Yeah. You can blast my last year's salary. It's absolutely pathetic. But yeah, it's so important to know how much other people make so that you can advocate for yourself. And you don't know what you don't know. If you're making a third of what everyone else around you is making, would you not want to change that? I would.
Salary information is always a touchy thing. I've learned in some countries, they're very open about it, and coworkers will openly talk about what they make. In America, it's a little more guarded. It's even taboo to go, hey, how much do you make? So this is kind of a way around that, to avoid that awkward question, at least in the Americas. Yeah. Absolutely. If you're delivering the same value, you're not being paid as much as your peers, you should absolutely know about that.
Yeah.
Let me just pull up the report here. Give me a second as I screen share. So as we look at this year, and to call out, we have about 200 and not about, we have exactly 205 respondents. There's always biases in these things. I need to always put out the disclaimer, right? It's the folks who know about experimentation, Experiment Nation, or myself, or follow one of our hosts or people who are fans with us who have shared a word of the survey. So there's always that bias. Experiment Nation's an English publication, so it's going to be that bias. So all this with a grain of salt. This is fairly directional. But at the end of the day, you know, it's interesting to compare year over year and to see these trends. So looking at the last 3 years from a median perspective, it's nice to see that the salaries have gone up from a USD perspective, from 70,000 to 74,000 to this year, which is at 78,000. I wondered what your thoughts were about that increase, Tracy. You seem to be nodding as if it should go up. I assume that's your perspective.
Well, I have thoughts and I have questions. So is it that salaries are going up because people are getting more experienced in CRO and you're seeing a maturity in people who may have started as juniors when this salary report came out, and then just now we're seeing more seniors? I think I'm gonna just have a theory here, and it's not backed by anything, but we can probably slice and dice this as we go. I am going to bet that there are a lot more people becoming consultants, especially with the turbulence of the job market in the last year or 2 years. Mm-hmm. And consultants, naturally, except if you're me, undercharging, they tend to make higher salaries. They have to charge more to cover their benefits. They have overhead, so they have to charge more. So I'm wondering if there are more consultants in the most recent years.
Maybe that's actually interesting because the job market is not the best right now. And no. It's something that I've seen where a lot of companies are consolidating budget. They're mm-hmm. trying to save on software. They're trying to cut where they can. And maybe that's a reflection of this, right?
Yeah.
People are... But they potentially could be becoming consultants and just trying to what have yeah. you.
I also noticed just from myself as a technically a consultant and my other peers who are also CRO consultants, I have noticed a rising trend. This is nothing new, but I've just noticed it more and more that a lot of teams or CRO agencies will hire individuals in low income or low cost of living places in the world. Yeah. And, you know, they're trying to save a buck off the back of someone who, you know, doesn't have a high cost of living. That Not may true. Play a factor. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I think in general, when I first saw the salary report, I was so sad to find that the highest my salary ever was still slightly below the average of the CRO salary report for the women category.
That's actually a good segue. Well, before we jump into that, I want to say a few things. So one, I think it's an indicator that probably consultants should be charging more.
Always. Yeah. You tell me like every day. Is that it? Charge more. Always.
Okay. Okay, so let's jump down. Actually, it's interesting that you mentioned the women aspect of this. Looking at this year, it's not a rosy picture for women year over year. If you could see the graphic on there, we see that a year over year there's been a drop in almost every country, Canada included. France didn't do well. India really didn't do well, and Portugal really really didn't do well. The some bright spots are looking like Australia, I guess you could consider Netherlands, and the UK. The United States took a dip. It's just interesting because to shout out the women experimentation movement, you know, they've been kind of growing over the last few months, years. And unfortunately, it's not being reflected in the salaries. I'd love to hear your take on this.
Yeah, I mean, if I had responded to this year's survey, which I did not, you would probably see, I'll get to why. If I did, you would notice Canada's 12% drop would probably skew lower just because I was a first-time consultant, no idea how much I should be charging, and therefore really undercharged for pretty much everything I worked on. Now, you know, I don't know how many respondents came through on Portugal, India, Chile, Brazil, where you kind of see the worst drops. But I mean, I never want to see my female peers losing money year over year. I would be curious to know how many respondents were laid off, maybe partway during the year. You know, I see people, there's always like a minimum that surprises me, a minimum submission every year. This year's was $43. Who was making $43? So,
interestingly, with the $43 one, I noticed that too. Year over year, I get submissions like that.
Yeah. I want to know how many of those, how much of it is I really did make that little last year, and versus, that was a mistake. Like, okay, I see in 2023, the lowest wage was $7,500. I could believe that if it was a rough year for someone, if they were laid off, if they, you know, became a first-time consultant and just struggled to get clients. When I look at the quartiles across the last 3 years, I do think it's very interesting that the highest quartile, Q3, very little change there. But in Q1, there was a drop since last year. So the people who are making the least continue to be making less by the looks of it year over year. And the people who are making the most are kind of just making the same. That middle, like that median line, it is nice to see it keeps going steadily up. But
it's
kind of a
divergence, right?
Yeah.
You see the median going up, upper kind of, other than the outliers, the upper part flattening out, staying flat, and the lower part going down.
Yes. Yes. Well, I mean, okay, anecdotally speaking for myself.
This is Roma Santiago from Experiment Nation. Every week we share interviews with and conference sessions by our favorite conversion rate optimizers from around the world. So if you like this video, smash that like button and consider subscribing. It helps us a bunch. Now back to the episode.
In 2023, I would have ended up in that median section.
Yeah.
Last year, I would have ended up in Q1, that first quartile, the lowest of the low. And I want to know how many people had that shift year over year. And so you were in the job market, you were hunting last year.
I was.
You know that it's a really crappy job market now.
It's not a great market, no, definitely.
No. So do you see that playing out in the numbers here?
I think so. I have to imagine that. It's the job situation has to be messing these numbers up a bit. And I think that's something to call out. I think in future surveys, I'll add a question around, you know, job transitions. Mm-hmm. That'd be very insightful to know whether someone, moved on from their last role or moved into a different role, and then you can kind of explain some of these things. But it's always tricky with admittedly lower sample sizes. But at the same time, it gives some color. Right now, we're asking a lot of questions like, "What happened here?"
Yeah,
that's
a lot.
Learning for next year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing that I actually find very interesting is the satisfaction of salary by title.
Mm-hmm.
I am not surprised to see team leads at the lowest satisfaction of 42%. Again, anecdotally, the least satisfied I had ever been in my professional life was in a team lead role because also a big part of it was the salary because
Let me Google your LinkedIn. Give me some.
Oh, no. my LinkedIn doesn't exist. Blocks everyone. No, I mean, when you end up in a team lead role, you kind of have that.
It's tough.
You wear all the hats. You are oftentimes, especially in CRO, you're responsible for being the strategist and the analyst, sometimes the developer, the copywriter, designer, all of that. Yeah. And you're responsible for oftentimes leading people. So your salary is not doubling, but your workload is doubling.
Yeah.
That does not surprise me. What also does not surprise me is the 73% salary satisfaction from consultants. Speaking for myself,
balance, right?
It's, I think the work life, I mean, okay, some people might be hearing this. Some consultants might hear this and be like, what planet is this girl on? But I am so happy with my salary, even though I'm making like what I made straight out of graduating school. It's low, but I'm not.
It's low now. Let's be clear. Hold on. You're very selective about who you work with. You're picking lifestyle and.
Okay. We're going to go with last year because this year I am noticing my income go up now that I'm advocating for a higher.
You're telling people what you do.
Now I'm telling. Yes, exactly. But I mean, last year I was making pickles and I was so happy with my salary because I was not working twice as hard. I was working half as hard. Yeah, I was making less than half as much, but that to me was worth it. And I want to know how much of the consultants are experiencing that same thing, or maybe they're just making bank and they're like, wow, I love it.
Both. Yeah, I imagine it's both, but work-life balance, especially now that with the whole return to home thing, return to home, return to work. Okay. Return to work.
No. It's not return to work. We've always been working. It's return to office.
That's right. Yes. I always get the terms wrong. But return to office. I wonder how much consultants are like, well, screw that. I don't have to go back.
Well, because you have to pay for your commute. You're paying for gas, for transit. That reduces your salary.
Yeah. But you get pizza lunches sometimes.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I could not forget about pizza lunches.
Ping pong, like... a little bit of ping pong. No, they're okay. There's obviously some advantages to having water cooler conversations and stuff. I'm an advocate for a bit of a hybrid, but the commute kind of sucks, and I get why folks don't want it.
Yeah. I hear that. But, I think it's very telling that the juniors and associate levels, the managers and the team leads, are experiencing the lowest salary satisfaction. I mean, I've been in those roles I was not satisfied with my salary for the majority of the time.
The title that I want to achieve clearly is other.
Yes. Oh yeah. I want to be that person. The person who makes $500,000 in Italy. I want to be them. I want whatever they're having.
Maybe you do. I don't know. If you a lot True. Of A lot of responsibilities,
If I have to work hard for that, then maybe not.
The other category, I'd have to dig into it a bit more, were really titles that I could not fit anywhere. It's like, these are made up stuff almost. So I did group it in there, but they definitely seemed more satisfying.
Do you know offhand what some of those are, those titles?
I could pull up the raw data. So I don't know it offhand, but I'd have to dig into it. And some of them were like really long something.
Okay.
I do a bit of this and another, like a kind of a long explanation that didn't fit anywhere. So that kind of gets into the other. So moving on to, I think, is it the last category? Changeover year over year for minorities, which stayed flat for most places. I only include places that had shifts. Canada staying flat at minus 1-something%. Not that great. United States doing worse, minus 26. What's going on there? UK apparently is progressive. Doing well there.
Happy for them. Don't know what they're doing. Good for them.
United States. Yo. What's...
Okay. Again, this is just speculation. I do not have any data for this, and it's all anecdotal, but... I guess this would make sense for the U.S. to see that kind of drop if U.S. employers and organizations are going overseas for cheaper talent.
Fair. Yeah.
They may not be paying more for that talent overseas. They may even be paying less probably most likely, but I could see how that could impact the U.S. salaries. For minorities.
Yeah, the minorities coming to the United States, maybe they're accepting something like that, like less than they should.
I speak with a lot of new entrants to CRO, and usually they're international, and they tell me what they want to charge, and I'm like, you're losing money. What are you doing? This is so low. And I forget that there are lower costs of living where they are, but I still
apparently $40-something.
Like I maybe that's a lot, but I've worked with peers where I'm charging almost $100 an hour and they're charging $20 an hour, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, that might be a lot for them. I couldn't survive on it. And maybe that's why we are seeing drops in Canada and the US and the North Americas. And I don't blame individuals in low cost of living areas. It's not, I'm not mad. I'm not saying you're taking our jobs or anything like that. I think I'm just more disappointed that there's a lot of short-term thinking about, I just want to save money on my team. I just want to pay less and just do that.
I think something to compare against, so people have a way to understand what 20 is an hour. In California, McDonald's pays about just under $16 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and you can argue which is harder work, but that's the level they're coming in at.
I mean, I'm not going to go on a tangent about this, but even minimum wage is too low. Minimum wage is too low. So I don't think it's a fair baseline for.
No, of course.
For income. Minimum wage should be like double what it is, at least in Canada.
It should be living wage, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree. And unfortunately, I think the people who get hit the hardest by short-term thinking on salaries are unfortunately the people who are doing the work, not executives, not business owners. That's kind of why I like being a consultant, is I can take that power back for myself. If someone doesn't want to pay my rate, that's their loss. I'm not what they were looking for anyway. But I do think this is an opportunity for experienced individuals in the North Americas to stop playing the "can I be the cheapest option" game and start playing the "I am a premium service. I come with a lot of experience. I'm in your client's time zone, or I'm in your time zone. You're paying for these extra things, but they're worth it in the long run."
I find that is always a tough balance, where usually when companies compete, they compete on price or being the best.
Yes.
Usually. So it's a race to the bottom, or you're trying to outdo each other. When you're premium, well, depends how you define premium. If you're in between those two, it's always tough.
Yeah.
Because a customer will want to go cheaper, or they'll want the best. So you always have to position yourself carefully, not to be too cheap and not the best, because then if you compare the best of the best, then you're not doing so well. And if you compare against the cheapest, like, you're too expensive. So you're always trying to find that balance.
And I think that is relevant for not just consultants or the self-employed. I think that also relates to employees and people who are trying to figure out what their, where they stand versus market rate.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, one thing that really changed how I view salary and the moment I started advocating for myself a lot more was when I started viewing myself as a business. I can work for so many different companies. I, at the time, was usually only working for one, but if they're not giving me the best rate and combining that with a work environment that I like, it's going to go to the next highest bidder who does have a great environment where I can thrive. And I stopped looking at my employers as they own me and I owe them, and more like, no, like, I know what I'm worth. I'm a business. I'm worth this much. I want my bag.
Of course. I mean, as much as we want to deliver our best work, you know, and do what we can for our employer, you have to be fair to yourself.
Yes.
And if you're not being like, and a lot of people lose sight of that.
Yeah. Where you're number one. Like,
yeah. If you're not taking care of you at the end of the day on your deathbed, you're not going to go, I wish I did more work. I wish I pulled another, put together another deck for the executives, you know?
Yeah.
So you gotta be you first. Of course there's a balance, but
anyway. Yeah, absolutely.
So I was going to jump off from there. So now we have all of this salary report. We talked about that. I want to talk to you about how can people make sure that they get the bag, as the kids say.
Yeah. Okay. I have a few.
Can I title this whole episode "Get Your Bag"?
Yes, please do.
with Tracy.
Yeah. Get your money. There were a few ways that I think compounded to help me get my bag. I mean, still, like I said before, I was still like hovering over the average at my highest salary. So maybe this is poor advice, but I think it's so important to know your number. where you where you fall in that number. So using tools like the CRO salary report, because I knew I had no business asking for $200,000, but you know, someone of my experience level, it's pretty realistic for them to go for $80,000. So being realistic about where you fall is very important, but also starting high, because you can't start low and go higher. You can only start high and then go lower.
Yeah.
So that's been effective for me. Job hopping has been very effective for me. I tripled my salary in 7 years by doing
so. It's a thing. I think I want actually just to talk about that. A question I get a lot of the folks I mentor or I'm friends with is the perception that job hopping is going to be negative. And I think that was true a long time ago.
Yeah.
But the average tenure, at least the last time I checked at a tech company, is like a year and a half, 2 years.
Yes.
And that's kind of, it's sad in one way, but it's just reality.
Yeah.
Job hunting, hopping is just natural at this point.
Yeah.
Especially with all the layoffs, you don't have a choice.
Yes.
So people always worry, oh, maybe I need to stay in a place for 5 years or what have you.
Yeah.
Actually, you don't.
5 years.
whatever the number is. Maybe I need to stay that long.
Oh my God. I would always be like, okay, one year. I got to hit 1 year. No, I really do think that the last few years, people who used to worry about, oh, I got to stay in this job for long enough, like myself, I used to be like that.
Yeah.
You start seeing all your friends or even yourself get impacted by layoffs or really shady cost cutting. Yeah. And you look at that and you're like, well, my employer has no loyalty to me. So I'm going to look out for myself and I'm going to go for the highest bid, or I'm going to go for the bid that feels the right to me. Yeah. And if you're
always the highest bid, let's be clear. Sometimes,
oh, true.
You know, yes. I've always told people, don't chase titles, don't chase money, because like, if that's all you're chasing, you're not going to be happy.
It does get overrated. Yes. It feels good when you first get that promotion or that raise, but it fades.
Yeah.
I do think though, it's really important to detach from that mindset of I need to be in a specific place for a certain period of time, because the world just is not going to offer you that same grace anymore. Yeah. And if you are a really desirable hire, sometimes you just naturally have to job hop because you're getting so many opportunities coming your way.
Yeah. No, well, this doesn't translate to dating, but
it certainly does not.
I interrupted you. So job hopping was your last one. Any other points?
I mean, I am so detached from the current job market right now because I swerved it. I empathize so hard with everyone right now because it really is hard to find a job and to also find a good job. But I do think it's very important to take inventory of all of your accomplishments, even the ones that you don't think are a big deal, and craft stories around them that show why you're worth what you think you're worth.
I love that.
It's because so important.
In sales, you don't go into a call with a potential client with facts, rates, hire me or no. No, it's always the story. You're always trying to tell a story that they'll see themselves in, see success in, seeing you being a part of it. And they want to hear a story. They want to be part of the story. And unless you look at your accomplishments and tell that story, like, I'm not going to remember anything that anyone says. Yeah. So that's actually great.
I'm going to add one more thing here. Maybe this is a controversial opinion. I don't know. But what I tell a lot of new junior CRO people looking for new jobs, they say, I don't have any experiences in CRO. I don't have any accomplishments. To which I usually say, yes, you do. I promise you do. When was the last time you analyzed a campaign, things like that? But also, you don't necessarily need to have a case study or an A/B test result to prove why you are deserving of top dollar or for the role, my largest move salary-wise was an increase of $20,000, and I didn't have a single A-B test case study to share with them. What I did instead was I showed them the process of how I get to an A-B test idea and how I turn it into a like transformative learning. Yeah. It's more important to be able to talk about your process and your mindset than it is to have a book full of A-B test wins.
I know that's something that I've done in the past when I used to hire. When I interview candidates, I want to hear how they think.
Yes.
You know, every story that they have, yes, it's going to be a well-crafted story towards a thing. But I always poke around, how did you approach this? How did you come up with that? Mm-hmm. You know, rather than someone coming in and going, you know, I raised sales by 25%. Like, how? Yes. I want the how. So yes. As long as you come up with a how story, it's almost more important than the you know, the case study version.
Yeah. Yeah. I think any candidate, job candidate who can get a grip on that can leverage that for more money.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not in this job market right now. Thoughts and prayers. I do not envy anyone who's in there right now.
That's thoughts and prayers. So those are all great tips. And the salary report is out now. Tracy, what do you have going on in your world that you'd like to share with our audience?
I thought you were going to ask me, how much money do you make? I actually don't know. Good question. Yeah. So you can find me in a few places. I'm everywhere, apparently. You can find me first and foremost on this podcast.
If you haven't subscribed, you should.
Yes, absolutely. Subscribe to this podcast. I have some wacky interviews with other experimenters, so check those out. You should also check me out on LinkedIn. That's where I do the majority of my posting. And if you want to work with me in future, you want to start a CRO program, or you are a CRO agency and you really need someone experienced on your team, you can email me at hello@tracylaranjo.com. Yeah, better be in the description because you're not going to know how to spell my name otherwise.
I'll put it on this screen, don't worry. What does that mean, by the way, Laranjo?
It means orange. So, yeah, if you see, yeah, you're today, you know this, you know what it means. If you see the orange emoji all over LinkedIn or Slack on my name, yes, you find me. I'm the orange girl.
Nice. Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't dye your hair orange, actually.
It will. It will fade orange. It will.
Oh, so you'll be on brand in every sense.
Impressive.
That's a commit.
It will look very frizzy and dry, but it will be on brand.
Great. All right. So that's our episode. Thank you, everyone, for joining and listening to us. If you enjoy what we do, please consider subscribing. Until the next episode, thank you very much, Tracy, for coming on the show. And we'll catch you around.
Thank you. And get your bag, everyone.
Big emoji and signs.
This is Romo Santiago from Experiment Nation. Every week, we share interviews with and conference sessions by our favorite conversion rate optimizers from around the world. So if you like this video, smash that like button and consider subscribing. It helps us a bunch.